They called it the pit, and they didn't let you go down into it alone on your first day. That was the case no matter who you were or what you'd seen before, and the Reverend Lou Ann Fry had seen plenty. But nothing prepared her for what she saw in the pit in the days after 9/11.
I mean, I thought I was pretty well prepared. I mean, you know, I've been in morgues, I've been in autopsies. It just overwhelmed me, the amount of devastation that was there. You see it on TV, but you don't really see it. It's like watching the Grand Canyon on TV. You don't really see the depth and breadth of everything until you're there. And that just floored me to no end.
That first day was the hardest. When Fry came out of the pit and drove home, she took everything off in the garage and spent hours in the shower trying to get clean.
My husband says, "Well, what was it like?" And I said, "I can't talk about it now. Just leave me alone. Let me absorb what I did." And that's unusual for me.
The next morning, Fry was driving to school, and Bette Midler's Wind Beneath My Wings came on the radio as she drove over a mist-covered bridge.
It just all caved in on me. I pulled off on the road by this, like, there's a little park over there, and I just sat in the car, cried. And cried. And then I said, okay. And then wiped my face, and I went to school, and then after that I was okay.
And she kept going back, as did the firefighters and police searching for fallen colleagues.
They were on a mission. Plain and simple. A recovery mission. And of course they got frustrated because they couldn't find what they wanted. And I had been sometimes with the 13th precinct, the one that lost the only woman. And they were desperate to find her. Desperate, desperate to find her.
They never did find Officer Moira Smith's body. But when they did find someone or a part of someone, Fry was there to make sure he or she was treated with honor and dignity. Fry also provided whatever comfort she could to those who were searching. She'd chat with them in the pit or eat lunch with them back at St. Paul's Chapel. Amazingly, the chapel, just feet from the World Trade Center, came through the attack unscathed. It became the headquarters for the search teams, part staging area, part refuge.
The chapel itself was their place of solitude, freedom. We fed them, we clothed them because they're working with water, they're working with this, they're working with that. They needed dry socks, they needed this.
Musicians played, services were held, the pews were lined with postcards sent by children from around the world. But while St. Paul's was a safe haven, the pit was anything but. Despite what then EPA Chief Christine Todd Whitman said days after 9/11.
As I say, you know asbestos was in there, is in those buildings, lead is in those buildings. There are the VOCs. However, the concentrations are such that they don't pose a health hazard.
And Christie Todd Whitman, she kept saying it was safe to be there. And it wasn't safe. There had to be asbestos in some of that stuff. There was chemicals in the furniture. There was the diesel fuel.
In December, Fry began to have a persistent cough. She was told to stay out of the pit and worked at St. Paul's until Palm Sunday, when her chest began to hurt.
My husband took one look at me and says, "You look horrible. You're pale. Your lips are getting bluish." I said, "My chest just hurts a little." Brought me to the hospital emergency room, and I was admitted right away upstairs, and I was in for 14 days.
Fry was diagnosed with critical asthma. Her days at Ground Zero were over. She was in and out of the hospital for several more years until the bitter cold winter of 2007. That's when a doctor said a warmer climate would help her condition, so they packed up and came to North Carolina. She was surprised to find others here who had similar experiences during and after 9/11. They'd sometimes get together at the Food Factory Deli in Cary, owned by a former New York City cop and firefighter.
You're just not alone and isolated. That other people know what was there and can relate to it. And so it's, you know, it's nice to know that.
Two studies released this month show that 70% of those who worked at Ground Zero have respiratory problems, and that men who were there were also 19% more likely to get cancer. Fry gets treatment at Duke and hasn't been admitted into the hospital since moving here.
I'm lucky. I have something that I can take care of and maintain with just care. But there are people who are, you know, the lung cancer, a few of the policemen, firemen have already passed. They kind of ignore that.
Fry works now as the deacon associate at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Durham. She keeps a box on the shelf near her desk there. Inside are the shoes she wore into the pit, still caked with gray dust. She's tried to wash them, but they won't get clean. Next to the shoes is a children's book. Fry has read The Little Church That Stood during children's chapel before, and she'll do it again this Sunday, the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Just like the chapel of old St. Paul, hear the bells of freedom and what they say. Terror may come, but it will not stay. It will shake our world, but we will not sway. It will block the path, but we'll find our way. Free beneath the stars that shine both night and day.
Fry hasn't been back to St. Paul's or Ground Zero since she got sick. She says she knows she needs to go, and she'll get there when the time is right. Dave DeWitt, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.